Every Wednesday on this program, we hear from sports writer Frank DeFord. He's been writing about sports for about half a century, and like many an athlete, he keeps working his way toward one more season.
Most guys hang on as long as they could. To use me as an analogy, I'm hanging on to writing as long as I possibly can until, you know, they put me away.
We were talking about this on stage. A couple hundred people joined our conversation at the 6th and I Historic Synagogue, a performance space here in Washington, D.C.
Well, I want you to feel comfortable like it's a normal morning, a normal broadcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to introduce Frank very briefly, and then he's going to rant about something for 3 minutes, and then we're going to go and do the regular traffic and weather or whatever that we have to deal with.
Actually, I had many more than 3 minutes worth of questions. We were talking of a long and eventful life. DeFord's hair is gray now, but he still has the imposing height of a one-time high school basketball player. He's written a memoir called Over Time, My Life as a Sports Writer. Those who know him for his work on Morning Edition may not realize that DeFord started writing for Sports Illustrated in the early 1960s. He became one of the most admired sports writers of his era. He did that not so much by focusing on the games, but on details that revealed the character of the people who played them. DeFord never wanted to be a sports beat reporter covering the same team for every single game all season.
I have great admiration for those guys because the hardest thing in the world is to write something critical about someone and then show up the next day in the locker room. I mean, that is not fun, and that takes an awful lot of guts. And I never enjoyed that. I remember one time I wrote something very, very critical about Wilt Chamberlain. The next time I saw him, and Wilt was not a man as huge as he was not a man of confrontation, and we were in the Lakers locker room, and he sent Jerry West over, and he said, "Frank, Wilt would like you to leave." And let me tell you, I've been around a lot of tall, big guys, but there was something about Chamberlain, the sense of size, which was just absolutely extraordinary. And I became friends with him later. And I didn't have to leave the locker room. The press had the right to be there. I said, "Okay, Jerry." And I made a very quick exit. And by the way, when I went by Wilt, he dropped his eyes. I said, he was not confrontational. But that's the sort of thing that a beat writer has to do a lot of. And I never could have done that.
How, this gets to somebody's character. How could somebody who's avoiding confrontation like that in an ordinary situation be out on the basketball court pushing and shoving and contending with people the way you'd have to do?
My experience is that the big guys, and I'm talking about any sport, don't feel the need to be tough guys. It's the little feisty guys. They're the ones, the little bull, the little terriers. They're the ones who are going to be, they feel like they've got to, you know, puff their chest up and so forth. I think of Billy Martin, most classically, for example.
Manager of the Yankees. And
manager of the Yankees and every other team. And Billy did have a problem with the demon rum. But it's interesting that when he drank too much, the meanness came out of him. Obviously, I'm stereotyping because there are a lot of big guys who are tough and a lot of little guys who are sweet. But generally speaking, that's definitely the case.
I feel like you are describing relationships with players, coaches, managers that are different perhaps than sports writers would have today. You seem to have these personal glimpses that are very different.
I was so lucky. The chance that you got in those days to get close to athletes is so much more than the writers get today. If just a simple thing, if you watch television, at the end of the game now, the manager will be shown in what amounts to a press conference. He sits there with a bottle of water next to him and a microphone and a PR guy. When I was covering games, and this is back in the 60s, and you'd go into the manager's office. I can still visualize Earl Weaver from the Baltimore Orioles. Again, one of the little feisty little guys. I can just see Earl now in his underwear with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, holding court. And that was the way it was done then. And you could sit and
some
chat.
Some things are better today.
And anyway, chat for and chat forever. And by the way, you said in the beginning, you know, that pretend that, you know, I'm here giving a 3-minute rant, and I'm looking out, and everybody has their clothes on. Usually people tell me they're undressed when they listen to me in the morning. So this is very unusual.
If anyone wants to go get a bathrobe and come back, they should feel welcome.
I actually was at a very fancy college not too long ago, and at the reception ahead of time, the college president, a very vivacious, very attractive, and very loud woman, spotted me across the room and said, "Oh, Frank, this is the first time I've ever heard you with my clothes on." And there were a few eyes like that. So it's nice to see everyone dressed, listening to me, and not only that, but not brushing your teeth or otherwise performing your morning ablutions. So this is great.
Frank DeFord, whose memoir is Overtime. In it, he tells a story of asking two great golfers about a tournament from years before. It was revealing, he writes, that the loser seemed to have blocked out his memory of the tournament while the winner recalled every detail. So maybe it reveals something about Frank DeFord's sports writing life, that he seems to remember everything. And you can hear him read that passage at NPR.org.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition, produced by Nicole Beemsterboer. Our senior producers are Cindy Carpian, Barry Gordimer, and Jim Wildman. Senior supervising producers are Caritello and Tracy Wall. Our executive producer is Madalika Sika.
And the executive editor of news programming is Alan McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.